Shalom to all. Today's office in Yerushalmi Shabbos, Afkuf Zayin. We are starting right at the top of the Amud and the Vilna stuff. It's about halfway through Pezayin Amud Beis with the words of Hamashach Shanal and Mohol. And today's office sponsored Lili Nishmas, Marsh Mirim Sarabas, Yaakov Moshe, Hernish, Shamash should have an Aliyah. As we continue, Hamashach Shanal and Mohol, Vagershon is Garishu Mohol, Tsarach Latif Medidam Bris. If a person was a Mashach, which means, as we explained yesterday, that the skin of the Aver got pulled over the Makkah Amila, so it looks like they don't have a Bris Mila, or the person was Nalan Mohol, they were born with a Bris Mila, or a Ger, when he converted, he already had a Bris Mila. Could be he's from the non Jews. That say that it's healthy to get a bris, so he did so when he was not Jewish. All these, they have to do hatafas dan bris, which means to poke the makkah milo and draw out some blood. Now, Tanya Fabrice says similarly, Amr Shimon Elazar, Lo Nechlu Beisham Beis Hillel Noilin Mohol. Beisham Beis Hillel, don't argue regarding this person who's Noilin Mohol, Shatarach Latif Medu Dan Bris, that they do need to do hatafas dan bris. And why is that? Shehi Arla Kvusha. It's considered Arla Kvusha, which basically means like a pressed down Arla. According to this, they hold that this person who's Noilin Mohol really has an Arla, it's just that it's so pressed down on the skin, it's as if it's connected to the Aver. And obviously you can't cut anything off, but you still have to do a tafas dan bris because it's like a bris mila. Aman nechlu, what's our machlokes? Al gershon is gair mahol. We're going to a convert who, when he became a gair, he already had a bris mila. Shabbos shamir ayrim. They say chetzarach latif menu dan bris. They have to do a tafas dan bris. Beisel ayrim ainu tzarach latif menu dan bris. No need to do a tafas dan bris. Now Rav Yitzchak Bar Nachman says b'shem Rav Shaya halachik the Talmid. That looks like the Talmid, which is Rav Shem ben Elazar. That's who we're referring to. He argues with his Rebbe Rabbi Yehuda, so he passing like him and not like Rabbi Yehuda. And also over the Kumi Rav, a story came to Rav v'mar and he said min taninan. From that which we learned, he Arla Kvusha, because Arla Kvusha, meaning this baby who's Nalin Mahol, really has an Arla, it's just that it's pressed down and attached to him. Hadamar that tells us Arl Baruhu, that he's for sure considered a 100% Arl, the Daichan Alav is a Shabbos, and we're going to be Daichan Shabbos for this child who needs just Hatavas Dan Bris, because he was Nalin Mahol. Still, he's considered 100% Arl, and therefore we're going to be Daichan Shabbos for him. However, Abavo Amar, he argues and says, Ain Daichan Alav is a Shabbos, we're not going to be Daichan Shabbos for a child who's Nalin Mahol. However, with Tzarach Latif Menu Dan Bris, we do have to do Hatavas Dan Bris during the week, but not on Shabbos, because it's not 100% that he's an RL. Now, Ravanda Barava is Yal Leichad Bar. Ravanda Barava, he had a son that was born Mahol. He went to many different Mayolim, and none of them wanted to do Atavas Dan Bris on Shabbos, because they all held like Rabavo that you're not supposed to, but Ravanda Barava argued that you should. And Kavim Masmas Bey missed when he himself was doing it, meaning Ravanda Barava was trying his best to do Atavas Dan Bris, because he held it had to be done on Shabbos, because again, it was the eighth day, and he held this was a Chiyav, so he had to do it, and he was doing it himself. He ended up causing his child to die. Rabbi Avin Amar, he says that no, Nasa Batu Adaka, the child became a Tzuadaka, Venis Anol of Umeis, and Rav Rava fasted for him and he died. That's because of Tzuadaka is not allowed to marry into Am Yisrael. So Rav Rava figured that's not even worthwhile for his child to live, and therefore he fasted for him, he died. Which Rabban the Kisar and Marin, they said that Kros Shavcha Nasa, he made him a Kros Shavcha, but it was the same ending, Venis Anu Umeis, he fasted for him and the child died. I was just going to another part of the Mishnah where we discussed this wine and oil mixture that was usually put on to heal it. Then if the wine and oil weren't mixed before Shabbos, he has to put each one on individually. So here we have a question, Rav Yechon Bar Mario Bai, he asked the following. Let's say it was already mixed below. Is he allowed to go and pour it on above? This means that he already mixed the wine and oil before Shabbos, but it settled a little bit, so it just needs to be mixed a little bit more. Could he now re-stir it up and remix it? It's not considered like he's mixing it fresh because he already did that before Shabbos. He's just giving a little bit of a shake to get it mixed up a little bit better. Is that permitted? And we don't have an answer to this question. Moving on to Halacha Gimel, the Mishnah continues discussing a child in bris mila on Shabbos. Marchitin es hakatan lefnei hamila ula achar mila. We could wash the child in hot water before and after the bris mila. This is what they used to do back in the day. They considered it vital for the child, for the bris to be successful and for him to heal properly. And so he's allowed to be washed on Shabbos in hot water, even though usually you're not allowed to wash somebody in hot water on Shabbos. This is permitted. And mizalfanol biyad avolay bekli. We could sprinkle hot water on him by hand, just not with a kli. We have to do it with a slight shinoi. Nerbalaz ben Azariah Amir, he says, marchitzas akatan beim hashlishi shechalias b'Shabbos. Even if the third day after his mila falls out on Shabbos, we can wash him with hot water. Shenemar, because the pasuk says, vahibay hashlishi b'yasam kayvim. It was on the third day and they were hurting. So we see that even the third day after Mila, the child's still in pain and would need to be washed with hot water. Another din, this is going to be machlokes, Safek van Dragones. We have a child who's a Safek. We don't know if he was born in the eighth month, and so we don't know if he's considered viable. And an Andragones, as we already know from before, is somebody who has both male and female genitalia. Ein Mechal on Avas HaShabbos, we're not going to be Mechal Shabbos for them. Or Rabbi Yehuda Matir van Dragones, Rabbi Yehuda allows us to be Mechal Shabbos for an Andragones. And now the Gemara discusses the first din of the Mishnah, Anantaninan. We learned in our Mishnah, Marchitzen Sakatan, that we could wash the whole child, the whole baby, whereas Tanya Beis Rabbi, it was taught in Beis Meresh of Rabbi, Marchitzen Samila, that we can wash the Makam Amila. So Rabbi Vos says, Rishan Rechnan, Halachak Mishu, I am Marchitzen Sakatan. That looks like the gears of our Mishnah that we can wash the whole Katan. And Rabbi Yasi explains, Al Karchat, I am Marchitzen Sakatan. You have to say that the proper way to learn it is that we can wash the entire Katan, the entire child, and not just the Makam Amila. And why is that? Because Tani Shmuel teaches, Ain Mainin Lo Shamad Vlechan Magami Makam Shabbos, that we never withhold somebody from putting oil or hot water on a wound on Shabbos. And that's because it doesn't look like it's for refuah, it's normal to put oil or hot water on any part of the body, and therefore just because he's putting oil and hot water on a wound that he has, that doesn't look like for refuah. And since that's the case, there's no chiddush for our Mishnah to say that we could wash a child's makam hamila with hot water. Anybody could wash any wound with hot water on Shabbos. It must be that our Mishnah is telling us that marchitzen sakatan, we could wash the entire child in hot water, not just the makam hamila. Now here's a second proof to this. Amar Biesi tells us, call Shah have a Reb Zeir Rebbe Amrili. All the time, Reb Zeir, my Rebbe, used to tell me, Tani Masi Yisech, you should teach in your Mishnah, V'loy Oid, not only that, El Hashem is often Mayim Al Gavim Makam B'Shabbos, that you're also allowed to sprinkle water on a Makam on Shabbos. Now, Im Oimer Ach Marchitzen Samila, if you want to say that the Girsa of the Mishnah is that we're allowed to wash Makam Amila with hot water, well, Ma Bein Makasa Shal Gadol, Makasa Shal Katan, then what would the difference be between washing the wound of a Gadol or the wound of a Katan? Why would we have to have both of this in the Mishnah? The Mishnah would first be talking about washing the wound of a Katan, that's a Makam Mila, and then it's saying you could also be Mezalif Mayim on a regular Makam. It's the same exact thing. It must be that the first thing is talking about Marchitzen Sakatan, the entire body of the Katan, then when we say Mezalfin Mayim ala Makam, that's referring to just the wound and not the whole body. And continuing, Ravo says, B'Shem Rav Elazar, Halacha K'Rav Elazar ben Azariah, the Halacha K'Rav Elazar ben Azariah of our Mishnah, that we are allowed to wash the child on the third day after his meal, even if it falls out on Shabbos. And Rav Bon says, B'Shem Rav Avo, time of Rav Elazar ben Azariah, what's his source? That's because the Pasuk says, V'hibayim HaShlishi B'yesim Kaivim, was on the third day when they were herding. This is referring to Anshei Shechem, when they got their bris milah, it was on the third day, Shimon and Levi went in and wiped the whole town out. Now, what do we learn from here? B'yosei Kaiv Ink Sivkan. It doesn't say when it was herding, the singular form, Ela B'hiyosam Kaivim, rather when they were herding, plural, Melamed teaches us, Shekol Evrim Kaiv Min Aleim, that all their limbs, their entire body was hurting them. As we see from here, the third day after Milah, the entire body of the child is in pain, and that's what we're allowed to wash him. And Rav Yaakov Racha, Amar Rav Yaakov Racha says, Rav Elazar Rav Yechanan, Mifkadim L'Cheyasa, they used to instruct the midwives and pay attention to the girsa changes. Kol Shikuyin, the Asun Avdun B'Chayla, Avdun B'Shabbata, any healing things that you do during the week, you're allowed to do on Shabbos. And Avdun Afilu B'yam Ashlish Chalias B'Shabbos, you're also allowed to do that if the third day falls out on Shabbos. Now Shmuel Amar, he tells us, Minas Akana, the reason why you're allowed to do this on the third day is because of danger. And if that's the case, Mecham Aleichamin, we should say that we're allowed to even heat up hot water, not just use hot water to wash a child, but we're even allowed to heat up the hot water. And actually, Rabbi Yisrael Rabban says, B'Shem Rabban and Taman, that yes, Mecham Aleichamin B'Shabbos, we are allowed to heat up hot water on Shabbos for this child. Now, because I know Abayza on top, the Gemara just goes back to something we had mentioned previously, that Shmuel had this across the board heter, a person allowed to take oil or hot water and put it on his wound on Shabbos because it does not look like refuah. And V'Tani Kain, we actually taught this, Mechamim Hu Adam Aloyntes, a person could heat up a towel, V'Nois Lagavim Ayim B'Shabbos, and place it on his stomach on Shabbos. And even though his stomach's hurting him and this makes it feel good, it doesn't look like it's for refuah because people do this just regularly, even if their stomach is not hurting them. However, Lo Yitol Adam Arevim Le'Chamin, a person allowed to take a bucket full of hot water, V'Nan Lagavim Ayim B'Shabbos, and put it on his stomach on Shabbos because that looks like more that it's for refuah. Or Shumalevi Amar, he says, Les Kan El Mutter, don't have the girsa except for Mutter, meaning that you are allowed to take this bucket of hot water and put it on the stomach on Shabbos, and there's no problem. We can explain the Mishnah. Safik van Dragonis, Emichal and Elam Sashabbos, Rabbi Huda Matar van Dragonis, we have Machalikas and a common Rabbi Huda, whether we're allowed to be Michal Shabbos for the bris mila of an Androgynous. Now, Tamantani over there, we have a Mishnah, this Mesechus Chagiga, and Yavamasa comes up, Akal Chayavim Re'ia, everyone's Chayavim Re'ia, which means to come to the base of Mikdash during the Shalosh Regalim, Chuth, except for the following, Mecher Shaitav Akaton, Tomtom, the Androgynous. Now, the question is, Ma Omer Bar Buda, what does Rabbi Huda say about this? He seems to say in our Mishnah that an Androgynous is regular Zachar, is regular male, we're going to be Michal Shabbos for his bris, and so what about the Chiyav of Re'ia going up to the base of Mikdash for Shalosh Regalim? And the answer is Nishmina Adal. It's one from the following. Rabbi Yochanan ben Davai Amar Mishum Rabbi Yehuda. He says the name Rabbi Yehuda, Af Asuma, even a blind person. Now, Vlaz Bar Nash Amar Af, no one's going to say the word Af, even Ela Mechlal Du Maidi Al Kan Miasa, except if that's implying, that's telling us that he agrees with the previous things. And over here, Rabbi Yehuda is saying Af, even a Suma, so he's adding on to the list that we just had, and part of that list was Androgynous, which means Rabbi Yehuda agrees that Androgynous does not have a Chiv of Re'ia on Shalosh Regalim. And the question is, Machal Shitas Rabbi Yehuda? It seems we have a steer in Shitas Rabbi Yehuda. Tamanu Omer over there, he says, Prat, excluding, meaning Androgynous is excluded from Re'ia, V'kayu Amar L'Rabbis. Over here, he's including. He's saying that Androgynous is considered a full-fledged male, and we are going to be Machal Shabbos for his bris mila. Now he explains, Machalikas, Rabbi Yehuda Rabbanim, Mikra Chadarshu, Rabbi Yehuda Rabbanim, both darshan the same pasuk. Rabbi Yehuda Darash, Zachar. Rabbi Yehuda darshan is the word Zachar. The pasuk says, V'arel Zachar, Asher lo yimals, Besar lasoi v'chulu, meaning a Zachar has to get a bris. And Androgynous is considered a Zachar because he does have male genitalia. He also has female, but he has male, and therefore he has to get a bris, and that's going to be Daicha Shabbos. Whereas Rabbanan Darshi, Arel, the Rabbanan Darshan, that he's considered an Arel, and that's the main thing we're focusing on. Then the pasuk's telling us that somebody who's an Arel has to have a bris. We know that a woman is not an Arel, she doesn't have an Arla, so it must be that we're talking about a male, and therefore, Matam Olam Zachar, why does the pasuk also have have to say the word Zachar. It doesn't have to say Arel Zachar. Obviously, an Arel is a Zachar. So why say the word Zachar? Ache Kula Zachar. That means, says the Rabbanon, that he has to be a full-fledged male and not part male, part female. And that's why they darshan that the bris of an androgynous is not going to be done on Shabbos. Now, Rabbi Yehuda, Dar Zachar. We had said Rabbi Yehuda darshan's the word Zachar. And Matam Ulamer Arel. What do we learn from the word Arel? Afilu Miktsasai Arel. That tells us that even if he's a part Arel, he's a part Arel because he has the male genitalia, but he's also part not Arel because he has female genitalia. Nonetheless, we're going to still give him a bris on Shabbos, but he's still considered a Zachar who's an Arel, so we're going to mechal Shabbos for him. From Hacha, however, here, in regards to Re'iyah, the Chiyot to be Oil Regel, the Pasuk says, Kol Zachurcha Prat Landragonis. The full Pasuk is, Shalosh Pa'am Bashana Yeira'e Kol Zachurcha as Pnei Ha'adan Hashem. You see in this Pasuk of Re'iyah, the one it says, Kol Zachurcha, all of your males, the Joshua is that the person has to be 100% male and not any part female, and that obviously excludes androgynous, and so that's where Rabbi Yehuda agrees to Chamim in regards to Re'iyah. We're going to stop here for the day and pick up tomorrow and continue to discuss Bris Milah on Shabbos with Halacha Dalid. For now, everyone should have a wonderful day.